to extend a warm welcome to you this morning on this Christmas Day, and a blessed Christmas to you, and thank you for being a part of our worship service on this very special day that we remember the coming, the first coming of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in order to provide salvation for all mankind. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew, please, Matthew chapter 2. I'd like for us to read verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I'd like to spend a few moments addressing the issue of the gifts that were given to the Lord Jesus on this Christmas Day. And I'd like to submit to you there were four gifts, not three gifts, that were given. And bear with me, and I will explain my reasoning. Let's begin by reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It reads, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can stop and reflect and remember and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask and pray as we spend these few moments together that your Holy Spirit would fill us and would guide us and lead us into truth and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need spiritually on this Christmas Day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Who were these wise men? Well, commonly believe that they were scientists, possibly astrologers, philosophers. They were no doubt academic individuals that had a religious side to them. It's commonly believed that they were a class of religious priests of their own and were known to be ones that people would look to forecast or predict the future. And this is why Pharaoh, back in the days of Joseph, called for the wise men to come and interpret his dreams. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 8, it reads, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit, that is Pharaoh's spirit, was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dreams. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." So even back in the days of the Egyptians, wise men or magi were known as individuals. They were religious individuals. They were philosophers. And they had that element within their makeup that they were looked upon as ones that would provide guidance spiritually. And within this area of predicting the future, they're often called in. That's exactly what Pharaoh does. And it's important to bear that in mind. Now, with all of this knowledge that these wise men had, and no doubt prestige, wealth, they're obviously wealthy individuals. It doesn't take much to work that out when you consider the gifts they presented to the child Jesus. They were wealthy individuals. They were men of importance, prestigious, knowledgeable, very intelligent philosophers. And yet these men acknowledge the void that lies within every human heart, that need of God, that need to worship the one and true and living God. And only the God of the universe can fill this void that sin has created. And these men were in search for this one, this Messiah, this Saviour, in order to worship him. And as they arrive in Jerusalem, the Bible teaches us in verse number 2 of Matthew, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" So obviously they were men of wealth and authority, and they came into Jerusalem and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And no doubt people stood back in amazement and curious. And they went on to say, "We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And that would have caused an uproar within the city of Jerusalem, and no doubt it did, especially within the heart of a king by the name of Herod. And the Bible teaches us in finding the Lord Jesus here in Matthew chapter 2, in verse number 11, they found him in a house as a young child, and the Bible teaches us that they worshipped him. They bowed down before him and they worshipped him alone. And it's important for us to bear in mind that as you look at verse number 11, there is no reference here to the worship of Mary. They didn't worship Mary, they worshipped the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone. And in their worship, they presented unto Jesus Christ, who is now a child, no longer a babe, now in a house, no longer in a manger. They worshipped him, and they presented unto him gifts. At a glance, we will note here, in verse number 11, there were three types of gifts that were given. The Bible teaches us that gold, expensive currency, even this very day, gold is precious. And the Bible teaches us that God, for you and I, will line up streets of gold in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. And gold in the scriptures makes reference to the eternal realm, that God is eternal. And my friend, this morning, I have an eternal spirit that will spend eternity somewhere. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare and I will come again. So Jesus Christ is preparing a mansion with streets of gold. So whenever you read of gold in the scriptures, it's in reference to the eternal one, God himself. And also the Bible teaches us that they presented frankincense, an expensive sweet perfume that was often used with the offerings that were presented to the God of the heavenlies by the nation of Israel. And certainly the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his words and works was like a sweet perfume. The Bible teaches us in John 1:14 that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. But also note there in verse number 11, these men presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was also a perfume, very expensive perfume, but it was a bitter perfume. And often this myrrh was used for burial. Those that could afford would treat the body with myrrh and prepare them for burial. And in these men presenting gold, divinity, frankincense, our Lord was full of grace and truth, and myrrh, they were forecasting that this one that is born in Bethlehem was born to die. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21, note there please, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and the Bible reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So myrrh was an expensive bit of perfume that was used to embody or to treat a body for burial. And this was a forecast concerning the fact that this one called Jesus, Savior, would die, was born to die in order to provide redemption, forgiveness for all mankind. And that's why we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God became flesh in order to be our sin bearer. He who is without sin, born of a virgin, went to an old rugged cross, and there on that cross he shed his blood for your sin, for my sin, that we might have forgiveness and life eternal. So these wise men, there were three kinds of gifts, but technically the Bible does not say there were three wise men. Now I know it reads that in our carols, and it would seem awfully logical that there were three wise men with three gifts, but the Bible doesn't teach three wise men. There was no doubt a group of them. There could have been 10, there could have been 15, we don't know, but there was a group of wise men that presented to Jesus Christ in a house as a child gold, frankincense and myrrh. But beloved, this morning I'd like to challenge you concerning the fact that there was another gift that was given. All of these gifts were costly and fit for a king. And it was customary in hearing the birth of a child of a neighboring king, it was quite customary to send gifts in honor of the birth of a child to a neighboring king. But here we find within this passage of Scripture, these men of wealth and fame and intelligence and religious zeal, they personally presented these gifts. Why? Why? They could afford to have these gifts delivered. On their behalf. And there's no doubt these men were busy men. But yet they personally delivered these gifts. Jesus Christ, and they personally worshipped him. Yes, they could have sent the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh, but my friend, this morning, that fourth gift could only be presented personally. And it was the gift of themselves. See, there were four gifts given. Jesus Christ. They gave their gold, they gave frankincense, they gave myrrh, but first and foremost they gave themselves. Four gifts, not three. That's the title of my sermon, by the way. Four gifts, not three. They gave themselves to the Lord Jesus on that day. Four gifts, not three. The greatest gift that you can give to Jesus Christ is your life. It's one thing to give of our gold, to give of our wealth.
It's certainly another thing to give of our frankincense, our gifts, our abilities, our talents. And it's certainly another thing to give to God myrrh, that which is a reflection of a measure of sacrifice. But my friend, this morning, on this Christmas morning, may I submit to you that God wants your life. Really, God can do without your gold. He has enough of His own. And really, God doesn't need your frankincense, and God doesn't need my frankincense. He can carry out His work without us if He chooses to. And at the end of the day, God doesn't necessarily need a little bit of sacrifice from you and I, because God is God and God is in control and God's will be done. But yet we present to the Lord a little bit of our gold, a little bit of our frankincense, a little bit of our myrrh, a little bit of sacrifice. But at the end of the day, my friend, on this Christmas morning, God wants you. God wants you. And may I submit to you the reason why these men, though wealthy, though well known, could have well have just sent these gifts personally, pursued the Son of God, because they wanted to bow and they wanted to worship and they wanted to present themselves before the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And my friend, on this Christmas morning, God wants you. God wants your life. That is the greatest gift you can give the Lord Jesus on this Christmas day. Give God your life. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, "Here am I." Saul of Tarsus said there on that road to Damascus, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" God wants you. God wants your life. Your gold, your frankincense, myrrh, sure. Bit of sacrifice, your gifts, sure. Your wealth, sure. But at the end of the day, God wants your life, God wants my life. Will you give God your life as these men did? "Take my life," as the old hymn reads. Beautiful hymn within our hymn book. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Take my feet. Take my lips, take my intellect, take my heart, take myself, and I will ever only all for Thee." God wants you on Christmas Day. And I'd like to challenge you this morning on this Christmas Day to give God your all. See, God the Father gave His greatest gift in God the Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father gave His greatest gift, the gift of His own Son, to die for your sins, to provide forgiveness for all mankind. He gave His best. He gave His all. How can we do any less? Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, sinless, in order to die for our sins, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father gave His greatest gift. He gave His only begotten Son in order to provide forgiveness for mankind. And my friend, eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. And you can receive that gift. Christmas, what a wonderful time of the year where we demonstrate our love one for another. Or when we affirm our love one for another by giving and exchanging gifts. To what end? To reflect upon the fact that God the Father has given God the Son in order to offer all mankind the gift of eternal life. And my friend, this gift is received by faith and by faith alone. When a person acknowledges their need of a Savior, because we are all sinful, and they simply believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and in simple faith they repent of their sin, and they turn to Jesus Christ, and invite Him to come into one's life personally, at that moment a person receives God's gift of eternal life. And to have the Son equals life, the Bible teaches us. And my friend, this morning, on this Christmas day, I trust and pray that you've received that wonderful gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life. For He was made sin for us. He that knew no sin, that we might be made right, righteous before God. These men gave their gold. Are you still with me? Gave their gold. Gave their frankincense. Gave their myrrh. But they gave the greatest gift they could possibly give. They gave themselves. They bowed down and gave themselves to the one that is worthy of our worship. You might ask the question, Pastor, what's involved in giving God your life fully? Well, I'm glad you've asked. What's involved? Well, as we briefly note from the life of these wise men, we note a number of principles. In verses 1 and 2, we note that these men were prepared to walk by faith. The Bible teaches us in verse 1 that they came from the east. More likely that was Persia. They were Persians. And they came from the east in pursuit of the Son of God, the Savior. And that involved faith. Obviously when they arrived there in Jerusalem, they asked the question, where is He that is born King of the Jews? We've seen His star. So they were walking by faith. And may I submit to you, my friend, if you truly want to give your all to Jesus Christ, you must be prepared to walk by faith. Not blind faith, faith resting in the promises of God's Word. The Word of God is the basis of our faith. And if you and I are to give our all to Jesus Christ, then we need to be prepared to be obedient to the Word of God, and that involves walking by faith. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, the Bible teaches us. These men walked by faith. Secondly, I'd like for you to note that these men were guided by a star. They were willing to be led. Note then verses 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 2. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. But also note there in verse verse 12 that being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So we find here that these men were willing to be led. They were willing to be led, and this involved a measure of humility. No doubt these men were leaders in their own right. Would you agree with that? Wealthy, intelligent, they were leaders in their own right, but at this point of life, they were willing to be led. There is a time to lead, my friend, and there is a time to be led. Amen, Pastor. Let me say that again. There is a time to lead, and there is a time to be led. And we need to strike that balance, do we not? Humility is the step to greatness in God's eyes. And these men were willing to be led. They followed that star. And when God spoke to them through the dream, they followed God's guidance. Through the star and through the dream, they were willing to be led. And my friend, this morning, if you and I are to give our lives fully to our Saviour, we must not only walk by faith, but also we'll need to be led. We need to allow God to lead us. God normally works through, not bypasses, authorities in our lives. That's how God works. God has His chain of authorities. And normally God works in and through those chains of authorities. These men were prepared to be led. They reflected their wholehearted devotion. But also we know these men were patient. Boy, they must have been patient. They travelled a long way, all the way from the east, got to Jerusalem. Now we would assume that within a process of 2 years, before they found the eternal Son of God. So these men were very, very patient. Look, the average person can't spell the word patient. If we would have a spot quiz right now, most of us couldn't spell it. Let alone know what it means, especially amongst the men. Yeah, we struggle a whole lot more with patience than what the ladies do. Patience. These men were patient. They patiently travelled from the east in pursuit of the Saviour. And beloved, if you want to be used of God, if you want to give your all to God this morning, you need to be patient. My Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 10 that you are in need of patience. Amen. Yes, we need patience. Patience. That's a Spirit-filled quality. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be temperate, means to be patient. These men were patient. They persevered in pursuit of their Messiah, their Saviour. And beloved, if you are to give your all to God this morning, then you will not only need to walk by faith, you'll need to allow God to lead you, but you'll also have to be patient. Patient. Haste makes waste. Let's say it together. Haste makes waste. You know it's true. And this is the testimony of many people today. Not only in a physical sense, but more importantly in a spiritual sense. Haste makes waste. Has it ever occurred to you, my friend, that God is not in a rush? You won't find God rushing in the Bible. He holds time and eternity in the palm of His hand. Jesus Christ lived a called life. He wasn't driven. He lived a called life. He said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish that work. And Jesus Christ, as He was suspended upon that old rugged cross, cried out, it is finished. The Lord Jesus, you won't read of Him rushing. Oh yes, you'll see diligence and you'll see consistency and you'll see submission to the will of God the Father, but patiently He fulfilled the will of God the Father. And if we're to give our lives fully to the Lord, we're in need of patience. We need to get on God's timetable and move according to God's plan, schedule, scope and sequence. Amen. And last but not least this morning, may I say that these men were courageous. They put their lives at risk in travelling all the way from the east. They were wealthy, well-known individuals. They were prime targets. They were courageous. Element of risk. Could you imagine travelling with all of this gold and frankincense and myrrh? Element of risk. Courage. They were courageous. The Bible teaches us the fear of man brings a snare. The Bible teaches us that fear has torment. Fear torments. The fear of man ensnares us, traps us. But beloved, we need to be courageous in the Lord. And beloved, this morning on this Christmas day, if we are to give our all to Jesus Christ, then we need to be prepared to walk by faith. First step. We need to be prepared to be led. We'll need to be patient. And we'll need to be courageous. That's what it means to give your life fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to challenge you this morning, on this Christmas morning, to give Jesus Christ your all. See, there weren't three gifts given. It's really four. Yes, gold, frankincense, myrrh, but these men gave themselves. And that's what God wants. And I'd like to challenge you on this Christmas morning to give your life to Him. Don't worry. God's God. He knows what's best for you. He won't let you down. In fact, I can assure you, you'll be better off. May I say that one more time? You will be better off by giving God your life. Because He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And give Him your all. You will be better off. You will be happier. You will enjoy God's peace. And you will know His will for your life. Give Him your all on this Christmas morning. Hand over the keys, the master key, to every door of your life. And don't worry, God knows what He's doing. He owns you, He loves you, He has every hair on your head numbered. I wouldn't even bother trying to count the hairs on your head. Neither would you bother with mine. But God knows every strand on my head, and He knows of every strand on your head. God loves you, and God knows what's best for us. Give Him your all on this Christmas morning. Four gifts, not three. Have I got a point? I think so. So the next time somebody tells you, oh, they presented three gifts. Oh, no. They gave four. Then go ahead and preach to them the four.
Let's take our hymn books.